This morning we're going to go back to John chapter 3. So open your Bibles this morning to St. John chapter 3. The conversation between Jesus Christ and Nicodemus. We looked at last week the first 10 verses. And Jesus was talking about being born again. Being born again. Or being born from above. That's what we discussed last week. And he made it real clear that being born again is a work of God. Being born again is a divine work. It is an independent work of grace. It is an autonomous power that is demonstrated in regeneration. Regeneration is not done by us. It is done by the Lord. This is the work of the Holy Spirit that takes place in your soul. And it's not this cohesion of man's will and God's will when it comes to regeneration. Regeneration is by the will of God. He begat us by His own will. God does the choosing. God said, I'll have mercy on whom I have mercy. I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. Regeneration is a singular work of God. You can't birth yourself, okay? God has to do it. You can't save yourself. God has to do the saving. Salvation is of the Lord. So it's a singular work. Something has to take place that comes down from heaven. You have to be born from above, right? You have to be born from above. And we've got this right. I mean, when we talk about at the end of your repentance and faith, you'll experience a spiritual experience that comes from God. God lets you know you're saved. That's the new birth. That's being born again. That's regeneration. And so regeneration and the regenerating of a sinner happens when something occurs that comes down from heaven. We looked at the word anathion in the Greek, which is born again, and it means to be also born from above. Born from above. I'm convinced you do not have eternal life until you receive something that comes down from above. I believe you have to be given life from God. Okay? You have to be given spiritual life. There's a new life that comes in you that wasn't there before. Okay? That's being born from above. Now, we looked at many things regarding the new birth and how important that it is. And Jesus said that you must be born again. There's a divine imperative here. Okay, it's a command. You must be born from above. And so the new birth comes from above. And the very illustration of birth lets us know that there's a point in time in which you must have an experience with God. We call this experimental knowledge. Missionary Baptists call it also revealed knowledge. This must be part of the makeup of your salvation. You got to know that you're saved, and you must have a spiritual, revealed, experimental knowledge that it's occurred. Now, we can't produce that on our own. The church can't give that to you. The preacher can't give that to you. You can't follow certain steps to experience that. This is an act of God upon the soul, the new birth. New birth. God is the sole cause of the new birth. Right? Now, we went through and examined. There are a lot of things that we refer to in Scripture that are part of salvation. This is one of the parts of salvation. Regeneration is one of the parts. We looked at sanctification and justification and all those different things relative to the new birth. And so, when we talk about the new birth, we are talking about an experience that you have with God that lets you know that you're saved. Now, there's a lot of things that happen in the process of that. There's conviction. Now, regeneration is not conviction. Regeneration relieves conviction. All right? And we looked at how that a lot of people confuse the drawing of God, like we read of in the 6th chapter of John, with regeneration. And it's not. Regeneration comes at the end of repentance and faith, not at the beginning. Regeneration doesn't call you. It lets you know that you've been called to holiness and righteousness and to eternal life. God is the sole cause of new birth. It's of His own will. We believe that. We really do. God is the one that has to give you eternal life. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. He gave us the illustration of the wind. The wind bloweth where it will. You know, you hear the sound thereof, but you can't tell whence it cometh or whether it goeth. We looked at that in verse 8. And, you know, the thing about the wind is that we do not control it. You don't command the wind to come, okay? You can't make the wind blow in your backyard, okay? It bloweth where it willeth. And so the second illustration that we looked at in here was the wind. And you can't increase the power of the wind. You can't minimize the wind. It does what it wants to do, okay? So the wind is used to show us that it's not something that we do that make us saved, but it is the work of God's grace in saving us. Now, here's the problem with this. A lot of people want to take the new birth and they want to refer to it as a sovereign work of God, and it is. I mean, really, God does the saving. But they present the sovereignty of God as though God is some kind of tyrant, that He just is a merely arbitrary, omnipotent being, that perhaps if you just read these things and preach these things and you don't finish the conversation, okay, that's what I want to do this morning, is I want to finish the conversation because it's really important that we understand this. Yes, God does the saving, but He is not some whimsical being. I mean, He, you know, you might think, well, if, you know, I may get up on the wrong, God may get up on the wrong side of the bed one day and just not save me. Listen, God wants to save you. He's not withholding His salvation from you. He'll do the birth in you if you will come to Him in repentance and faith. That's what the Scriptures teach. He's not some oriental tyrant. He's not like the god of Molech or the god of the Amorites. He's not like Allah. I'm telling you, our God is a merciful, loving, righteous God that wants to save. And if you will come to Him in repentance and faith, you'll be twice born. Twice born. And so that kind of finishes up the conversation, and I think it's important for us to consider the rest of this conversation because it's very important. I want us to notice also as we conclude this section of the third chapter of St. John that the pronouns become plural. This applies not just to Nicodemus, it applies to the Jews in his day, the Pharisees in his day, the people in his day, and it also applies to you. You must be born again. But if you'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you can become twice born. There are twin truths to being twice born. Let me say that again. There are twin truths to being twice born. God must do the saving, but you need to do the seeking. You need to call upon the Lord, and He will save you. Now, there are many truly, trulys, or verily, verilys in this third chapter of St. John. He was correcting the scholarly, theological opinions and ideas of that day. And if there's ever been a time when we need correction concerning the opinions and theological ideas of a day, it's today. People have this all wrong. A lot of people say that you can't harmonize God's sovereignty and human responsibility, but I can. I'm going to say this again. I can harmonize these. It's very simple. If you just read the rest of the story, Jesus told Nicodemus that if you'll believe on Him, if you'll trust in Him with all of your heart, if you'll turn from your sins, you'll experience being born again. Let's read, looking in verse 11. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen and ye receive not our witness. The problem was Nicodemus was rejecting the truth. He was an unbeliever. He wasn't believing the things that Jesus was preaching and teaching. And so Jesus was using the word we, probably as an editorial we. People that are preaching the truth, people that are advocating the truth, those that are declaring the truth by the aid and power of the Holy Spirit, the truth that came down from above by the words and of Jesus Christ and the Word of God, people are not believing it and receiving it. That's the problem. That's the problem. He says, if I told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. There's only one that's ever come down from heaven with divine truth, and it's Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, the Son of God. He is the only one that has ever given us information from heaven. Now, very rarely does somebody get to go to heaven and come back. There's just a few exceptions in Scripture, like Lazarus. But what kind of theological truths and understandings did you get from Lazarus coming back? Zero. Silence. Paul went to the third heaven. What information do you know about things in heaven from the Apostle Paul? Zero, none. Listen, folks, there's only one who has given us divine truth, who has come down from heaven, and that's Jesus Christ. And when it comes to being saved, you need to believe the letters in red. Jesus Christ. Now, there's people been up there and come back, but they didn't inform us of anything, okay? I mean, Elijah and Moses, you know, they met Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. What kind of truths did they give us from being there? Zero. Okay? The only one is the only begotten Son of God. He alone is giving us divine truth from heaven. Now that's important. That's very important. Because there's a lot of frauds out there. Amen? A lot of fakes. And, you know, people are really drawn to this, you know, this mystical understanding of things in heaven. But Jesus, the only one, it says it right here. Do you believe the Word of God? Okay, there's only one, and it is the Son of God. He's the one that's come down from heaven. He was with the Father in the very beginning. He came down, and He has given us the information that we need about being saved. No man hath ascended up to heaven, and he that came down from heaven. Now, he's talking about revealing divine truth, the witness, the testimony. Divine truth comes from Jesus Christ. You do believe He is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? He is the one that gives us divine truth. No man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven. Now, Jesus said a little later on in John, in John chapter 8, John chapter 6, He came to reveal the things of the Father. He came to reveal to us the things that are divine with respect to Jehovah God. He came and revealed divine truths of the Father. He said, I speak nothing but that that has been given to me of the Father. Amen? So the truth that Jesus declared is the truth of Yahweh, Jehovah, God. The truth of the Father. Notice what He says. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now this is a reference to His crucifixion. Okay, the same way that Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That whosoever, everybody say whosoever. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world. Now listen, world is whosoever, and whosoever is the world. Whosoever the world, God loves the world and gave Himself, gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, everybody say whosoever again, believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Okay? whosoever believeth in Jesus Christ will be twice born, have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. Now we're talking about the conclusion of the conversation with Nicodemus. He said everybody's got to be twice born. But there's twin truths to that twice born. One is God does the saving, but you need to do the believing. You need to trust in Jesus with all of your heart. And he says this about this truth, that anybody and everybody can be saved. If they'll trust in Jesus, anybody and everybody can be born again. And if they will believe with all of their heart and turn from their sins, they will be twice born. You might say, well, I've sought the Lord, but I'm not twice born. The problem is, you've not believed yet to the saving of your soul. When you believe with all of your heart, God will bear witness that you believe with all of your heart, and you'll be twice born. All right, so he says, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loveth darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought of God. Wrought of God. One thing that stands out in this reading lesson is that the word believe is used 7 times. I don't know if I mentioned this last week, but being born again is mentioned 5 times. 7 times he tells us that we need to be born again. That's the theme. We need to be born again, and if you'll believe the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll experience the new birth. That's what he's saying. Now, the theme or thesis is that there's twin truths. You have to be born again, and everybody can be born again if they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he says. Now, the reformers referred to being believing and being born again by believing as solely of faith, faith alone. Sola fide in the Latin, faith alone. Now, we are saved by faith without any works. Right? And the reason we know and experience repentance and faith not as a work is because of the new birth, which lets us understand and comprehend by the revelation that this is wholly of grace. Faith alone, wholly of grace. Twin truths. This aspect of salvation being declared that we are saved by faith is very important. And that we're saved by faith alone. I think it's very important. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. He saved us not by works of righteousness which we have done. How did he save us? He saved us by grace through what? Through what? Through faith. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So we are saved by faith alone. In Romans chapter 3, it tells us that we're not justified by our behavior or by the deeds of the law. We're not justified by that. We are justified by faith. Being therefore justified by what? By faith. By faith alone. In Romans chapter 10, it tells us that if we believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, with all of our heart, if we have faith from the heart, we'll experience salvation, a righteousness that comes from God. And listen, the righteousness that comes from God comes by faith alone. Everybody say faith alone. Faith alone, yeah. Throughout the book of Romans, it tells us that. Even John was writing in his thesis, his theme. He tells us the whole purpose of his book. And I've mentioned this many times. It's found in John 20 and 31. He tells us, I'm writing this, that you might believe, and in believing you'll have life. He wants us to have faith because through faith we are saved, and we're saved by faith alone. Faith alone. Now this is important. This is very important in us understanding the way of salvation. We are saved by faith alone. John will consistently tell us in this reading lesson that we can have eternal life. How do we have eternal life? By faith, right? We have eternal life by faith. He tells us that. See, I'm convinced that when you really put faith in Jesus Christ, when you trust in Him with all of your heart, you will have not only eternal life, you'll have the forgiveness of sin. You'll be reconciled unto God. You'll be sanctified and set apart unto this glorious, wonderful hope that we have in Christ Jesus. This hope that makes us not ashamed. You obtain that by faith alone. Faith alone. Faith alone. Listen, everybody can be saved if they'll exercise faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ. If you don't believe, Jesus says in this reading lesson that you'll be judged, right? He says you're already under condemnation. You're already judged. The gavel has already come down. Your head is already in the guillotine. You're ready to be executed. You're guilty already because you have not believed in God's only begotten Son of God. You haven't believed in the cross, able to expunge all of your sins. You haven't believed in the cross to the degree that you've experienced eternal life. And so you have not exercised faith, because if you've exercised faith, you're no longer under condemnation. People are saved by faith alone. Sola fide. I believe that, don't you? Faith alone. You need to believe. And in believing in the only begotten Son of God, you will not perish. Right? Isn't that what Jesus said in this reading lesson? He said, those who put faith in Him will not perish, but they'll have what? Everlasting life. And as long as you're not believing in Jesus Christ, the full weight of eternal judgment is upon your soul. You're an unbeliever, and being an unbeliever, you're under condemnation. Under condemnation. Because you refuse to believe in Jesus Christ. I believe eternal life awaits those that put faith in Jesus Christ. I believe the new birth awaits those that exercise faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I believe everybody can be twice born, and the only reason they're not twice born is because they have not believed in Jesus Christ. All through the Scriptures, you have this. Turn with me to Matthew 11, verse 27. He says, you know, all these things have been handed to me of the Father. And he says, you know, no one can know the Son except the Father. And nor does anybody know the Father except the Son. And nobody can know the Son unless the Son reveals Him. See, there must be a revelation. It says clearly that the Son reveals Himself to us when we get saved. The Son reveals Himself, and He does it according to His own will. There's a revelation that comes from Jesus Christ. And you can't know the Son unless the Son wills to reveal Himself to you. And yet at the same time, what does verse 28 say? What does verse 28 say in Matthew chapter 11? Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest, right? Come to me. Come, those that are heavy laden, and He says, I will give you rest. You take my yoke upon you. You learn of me. I'm gentle, He says. I'm humble in heart. You will find rest for your soul if you will come to me. He has given us here this clear, concise statement, a plea from the heart of Jesus Christ. And he says, everyone can come. And if you come, and the word coming there means believing. Okay, they're used kind of synonymous throughout John. You know, come believing. You come believing in Jesus Christ and the cross, and the Son will reveal Himself to you. Amen? He'll reveal Himself to you. If you come, Jesus will reveal Himself to you. But you've got to come. You've got to come believing in the cross. And you've got to believe in the power of the cross to save you. And He'll give you life. I wish I had time to go through the sixth chapter of John. Maybe some other time I'll go through that. I'd like to go through that, but I don't have time. I told Ange if I ever, you know, went through the sixth chapter of John, I'd probably be here a couple hours. There's some amazing statements in the sixth chapter of John. Jesus talks about being the bread of life, you know. And he had this following. He had fed the 5,000 and they followed him all the way to Capernaum. Pretty amazing. And he got there in Capernaum. There's a big crowd there. And he knew their hearts. And the only reason they were following him is for food, for lunch. And Jesus begins to point out many things that were just totally wrong with this situation, okay? Going to church to appease the appetites of the flesh is wrong. And that's what they were doing. They were wanting a free lunch. They wanted their bellies full. They wanted to appease the appetites of the flesh. It's amazing today how many people go to church to appease the appetites of the flesh. Jesus said, this is so wrong. And then he went into this big discourse about salvation, about, you know, how that the Father is giving him a people. And that was prophesied of throughout the Old Testament. He would see his seed, you know. Even on the cross, he anticipated a people for his namesake, a bride, if you will, a church. He saw us. And it motivated Christ to die on the cross. The Father was giving, and he says, all that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. Amen? You come to me, Jesus says, and I won't cast you out. I will save you. The problem is you've not come to Jesus yet. You've not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you will be saved. You'll be saved. You'll be saved. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And I believe that's the cross, don't you? Jesus crucified on the cross. And he's being lifted up. Lifted up as a sacrifice for your sins. Paying the sin debt for you. Willing to give you eternal life. He was lifted up between the heavens and the earth. He died to set you free. He was the ransom for your sins. He is the Redeemer. He went to the cross of Calvary and took your place as a substitutionary atonement. The penalty and judgment of your sins were poured upon Him. He was the sacrifice for your sins. And He says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And He was. And He says, if He'll continue to be lifted up through the preaching of the gospel, He will what? Draw men unto Him. Listen, folks, you got to go to Jesus. You got to trust in Jesus. He's got to be lifted up. The church needs to be lifting up Christ. The church needs to be lifting up a Savior. The church needs to be lifting up a Redeemer. One who came to save them and give them eternal life. Jesus needs to be lifted up before a lost and dying world. And He says, if I be lifted up, I will draw some men unto me. Is that what it says? Keep in mind, Jesus is giving us the process by which people are born again. God does the saving, but we have to respond. There's a human responsibility. You've got to respond to the gospel, amen? You will never be saved unless you respond to the gospel and seek Him out and call upon His name, turning from your sins. And we'll get to that in just a minute. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father but by me. Jesus has to be lifted up. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. It's through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has to be lifted up. And this refers to his crucifixion as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. So must the Son of Man be lifted up. And if we'll lift up the Son, people will be drawn unto him. And what does he say in verse 15? That whosoever believeth in him will not perish. There's a negative. You won't perish. You won't go to hell. But you'll have everlasting life and you'll go to heaven. If you'll trust in Jesus Christ, you'll escape the damnations of hell and you'll have eternal life and get to go to heaven. Folks, that's the gospel message. Trusting in Jesus Christ, believing to the saving of your soul. Now behind this whole thing, how this whole thing works, that whosoever can believe is because God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him will not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. If you'll put faith in Jesus Christ, you can be saved. I should have got amen. Faith, putting faith, saving faith in the Savior. I'm talking about giving yourself wholly unto Him, surrendering to Him. I mean, trusting Him with all of your heart and with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your body, with all of your life. I mean, trusting in Him. Trusting in Him. Because God loved this world. The means of salvation is what? Whosoever believes. That's what it says. That's what I'm preaching. Whosoever believes. Now, that's the means. By believing, by trusting in Jesus, believing the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that He died on the cross for you and resurrected on the third day. In Romans chapter 10, it says that person is saved. That person is the one that gets saved. The one whosoever believes that Jesus died and rose again. That's what it says. That person is the one who is saved. That's the person who gets saved. That's the person who is born from above. That's the person that won't perish, but the person that will have everlasting life. Because God sent not His Son into the world to judge the world, not to condemn the world. The world's already condemned. You're already under condemnation. Why? Because you have not believed. You know, a lot of people think, this is crazy. I've met people like this. They think that, you know, God is like calculating their goods and bads. You know, like there's some grand scale at the end. And at judgment, I'm going to weigh, you know, which one, you know, ever is heaviest. That's the one that tips the scale and I get to go to heaven. Listen, those things are irrelevant. You don't go to hell because of something you do. You go to hell because of something you didn't do. You didn't believe on God's only begotten Son of God. Folks, there's going to be adulterers in heaven, fornicators in heaven, thieves in heaven. Listen, you've not believed in the only begotten Son of God, and you are judged right now. If you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've not put faith in Jesus Christ, you are condemned right now. Right now. You're judged right now. And Christ, He didn't come to judge this world. He came to save this world. Luke chapter 19, verse 10, it says He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And so he who doesn't believe, he's already been judged because he's not believed on the only begotten Son of God. Here's the point. When you believe, when you really believe, when you really trust in Jesus as your Savior, you will be twice born. And if you've not been twice born, then you've not yet believed. You've not yet believed. Oh, you've got a carnal belief. Sure you do. You're raised in church, went to Sunday school. But you've not believed with the heart. you've not believed with the heart. So you're already judged because you've not believed. You know, I'm thankful that I've had that condemnation wiped away. Aren't you? I'm glad I trusted in Jesus. And I mean, the new birth is what lets you know that there's no more condemnation. Regeneration is what lets you know that the condemnation's been lifted, the burden's been lifted. You know you've been cleared from that guilt. You've been declared righteous. You've been given the righteousness of Jesus Christ, that you've gained eternal life, that it's never to be removed anymore, evermore, because you have eternal life, not temporary life, but eternal life. What grace and what glorious mercy, what infinite love we get to enjoy at the cross. Folks, listen to me. You've got to come to the cross. You've got to come to the cross and look on Him whom you pierced and believe to the saving of your soul. You know, He concludes this by telling us that there's a reason why people don't believe. Let's close this out. There's a personal responsibility. You must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a present accountability. You are already condemned. You're already condemned because you've not believed only begotten Son of God. We ponder the accessibility. It's available to all. Jesus said, whoever believes will be twice born. Whoever believes in me will be twice born. Faith. Faith alone. And there's a reason why people haven't exercised faith in Jesus Christ. And here's the reason. Look at it. He says, for everyone that doth evil hateth the light. You know why you're under condemnation? You know why you haven't believed? It says in verse 19, this is the condemnation. Light has come into the world, and men love what? Yeah. You won't repent of your sins. You won't turn from your sins. See, every believer is turned from sin. Are you with me? You know, we talk about repentance and faith, but it's really impossible to disconnect them. They happen simultaneously, you know. When you really turn from sin, there's no other place to go but the Savior. Everyone who repents, repents unto life. See? When you repent, you believe. See, you can't, I mean, I know we have this order that we talked about a little bit last week. Technically, repentance comes first. And so he says, the reason people haven't believed in the only begotten Son of God is because they haven't turned from their sins. They like their sins. They love their sins. The reason they're under condemnation and they're not trusted in Jesus is because they love the darkness. And they won't come to the light. They won't come to the light. Well, as we ponder this accessibility for all, let's bring it down to a more personal aspect and the accessibility to you. Is it accessible to me today? Is it accessible to you today? If you're pondering that question, I want you to consider verse 21. Consider what Jesus said. If you'll get honest about this thing, I mean honest with the truth of the gospel, that you're lost, that you're undone, that you're condemned, that you're a sinner, that you're an unbeliever, that you've not come to Christ because you love your own sins. You've not gotten saved because you love your own sins. There's something you're holding on to, you won't let go of. You got to surrender it all, amen? You got to turn from the darkness. And if you'll turn toward the light, okay, there'll be an exposure. Now, we're talking about the power of the Word of God, like we read in Hebrews chapter 4. This Word is quick, it's sharp, it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces to the dividing under of soul and spirit, to the joints and marrows. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart, where everything is open and exposed to God. Oh, man, when you're exposed before a holy God, Your condemnation is so exposed. Your judgment so fully realized. The weight of that, the condemnation of that, the conviction. That's what we talk about when we're talking about conviction. It's convicted over our sins, our very presence, our souls before a holy God. You feel that and sense that, experience that. All that is experienced by coming to the light, moving toward God. You know, when you don't come, you're just saying you love your sins. When you don't believe in Jesus to the saving of your souls, there's sins that you're loving. There's darkness that you're holding to. Folks, that's what Jesus said. The twin truths of being twice born is whosoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ with all of their heart, they will be twice born. As we stand to get a song, I want us to consider, ponder the accessibility to everyone here this morning that's lost. Jesus said, "He that cometh to the light, who cometh to an honest examination of where you are before God and your need of Jesus Christ, if you examine yourself, ponder your own heart as it is condemned before God, if you'll realize and allow the Word of God to have its free course in your soul, that the Word of God is true. The Word of God is true. These are the words of Jesus Christ, the only one that came down out of heaven and told us the truth about salvation. If you'll ponder it this morning, your accessibility, it's accessible to you. It's not God's will that anybody perish. Okay? It's accessible to you. You can be born again and born from above. And if you listen to me, if you'll come in the right manner toward God, if you'll humble yourself before the Lord, He will lift you up. If you'll turn from your sins and put faith in Jesus Christ, you'll be born from above. You'll experience it for yourself. I'm glad this is the message, the great message of truth sent down from above. Let's stand and sing. Is there somebody here this morning? You've not been twice born. You're under condemnation. There's no misunderstanding about this. Your unbelief condemns you today. Your unbelief condemns you right now. You stand condemned before a holy God because you've not believed on the only begotten Son of God. I'm convinced the Spirit of God is working this morning in your heart and in your life and wants to give you that you need, the glorious assurance of being twice born. But there's no way you'll ever experience it unless you come. Only those that come to Christ are twice born. Only those that put faith in Jesus Christ are twice born. Only those that turn from their sins, their love of sin, turn from the behavior that's sinful, and trust in Jesus will be twice born. Oh, that you'd be twice born this morning. God wants to save these glorious twin truths. Whosoever believes in Jesus Christ will be twice born. Let us sing.